Hey everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Jason Lipschutz, and I'm an associate editor and the Pop Shop blog editor of Billboard.com. Based in New York, on the other line, in Los Angeles, is the Tupac hologram of the chart world, Keith Caulfield. How's it going, Keith?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, man. One of these years, I'm going to Coachella in a couple days. One of these years, I'm going to get you there. We're going to bask in the Indio sunshine together.
Oh, God, no. Well,
I'll introduce you to a bunch of buzz bands. It'll be great.
This is just like my a festival in like the blazing sun in the desert. It's not quite my worst nightmare because that's a bit dramatic. But I mean, it's not something I want to do. I want to be inside where there's like cool air conditioning and it's shady. And yeah, that's about it. So why can't we have more festivals that are, say, indoors, like a winter wonderland with all the bands you love? Wouldn't that be great? What's that festival in Iceland? Like, it's got to be cold when they do it, right? That one?
I suppose so, yeah. I mean, there's I guess, like Jingle Ball.
That's not quite the same thing.
iHeartRadio Fest.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to Corporateville Fest.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There you go.
We digress.
We digress indeed. Welcome to the Pop Shop Podcast on this Wednesday afternoon. We are recording this. You'll hear this on Thursday. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. As always today, Uptown Funk, again, number one on the Hot 100. Won't stop, can't stop, won't stop.
How many times have we said that every week? It can't stop, won't stop. The Uptown Funk just keeps on giving it to you.
It's true, man. We can't avoid it. We're also going to be talking about the Furious 7 soundtrack, which races up, as they say.
It drives up the chart this week.
It speeds up the charts, as some might say.
Groan.
And we also, later, we have an interview, one of my favorite interviews on the Pop Shop Podcast in a while, with Jessie Ware, who was in town promoting her new album, Tough Love. We had a very, very fun, rollicking discussion on her tour bus. Can't wait.
I call her Jessie Chatty Cathy Ware.
Basically, it's and you'll hear, I got in like two questions in the span of like 10 minutes, but it didn't even matter because she was just so entertaining.
She doesn't seem like, you know, the imagery and the songs.
Very austere, right?
Yes,
but then in person, she is a total live wire and hilarious. So can't wait to get to that later in the show. Before we begin, of course, some housekeeping notes. If you like the show, subscribe to the Pop Shop Podcast on iTunes. That way you will never, ever miss an episode. Why would you ever want to miss a Pop Shop Podcast? It seems insane. Give us a rating or review on iTunes if you can. Always helps our stats, and we always appreciate it.
Yeah, and Jason, by the way, it's kind of like, you know, when you listen to your local public radio station or you watch local public TV, and we're kind of like that in a way where it doesn't cost anything to actually like get us, and we never come and ask you for your money. Unlike, say, those evil public radio stations who say, "Yeah, give us your money." You know, you don't have to, but really, it's the best thing to do. We don't even ask you for money. We just
ask for those stars, those iTunes stars.
Give me a star. Give me a subscription. Say that you like us. Tweet about us. Sorry, I don't know why I'm so
You can tweet about us, and if you have a question for the Pop Shop Podcast, hit us up on Twitter. He is at Keith_Caulfield. I am at Jason Lipschutz. Keith, are you ready to go?
Yes.
Let's do it, man. Let's start with the Billboard Music Awards. So the finalists were announced earlier this week, and the show is obviously May 17th, 2015. Can't wait for that. Little over a month away. First of all, Keith, in terms of the finalists, Taylor Swift leads all finalists with 14 entries in 13 categories. Not a shock there. She had a huge chart year as well as a huge just year in general. But in terms of her albums, her singles, she was everywhere. And yeah, I can't wait to see what goes down on May 17th. Keith, you were there at the announcement of the finalists on Tuesday the 7th. How was it, man? You have fun?
It was fun, yeah. I was asked to participate in the finalist announcement that was held at Twitter's headquarters, or at least it's Los Angeles headquarters, in Santa Monica, which is, and this particular building is about 3 blocks away from the beach and the ocean, which is pretty awesome. I'll Instagram a photo of the beach as I was walking back to my car. But yeah, I got to participate in the announcement where I moderated a Twitter Q&A with Chrissy Teigen and Jussie Smollett, who announced the finalists. And Chrissy is actually also going to be co-hosting the show with Ludacris. And earlier that day, Ludacris and Pete Wentz had announced the first five categories of the show, and then later that morning, Chrissy and Jussie picked up the rest of the finalists. They read another, I believe, 35 categories, which was pretty incredible. So yeah, it was fun, and I, you know, Chrissy and Jussie were very nice. Jussie's taller than I expected.
And really? How tall is he?
Well, I'm 5'9", and he's probably a couple inches taller than me.
Okay.
He just seemed, he was a little bit more sort of like imposing than I expected, because I you know, sometimes with actors that you see on TV, you expect them to sort of be smaller.
You never know.
And then Chrissy seemed taller too, and I'm like, you seem so sort of, you know, oh, you're so pint-sized in photos, and then you see her in person, you're like, oh, you're actually pretty tall too. I mean, she's not like glamazon tall, but they were both lovely, and she seems just as funny as she does on her Twitter. So yeah, it was fun, and I was thrilled to do that. And evidently, my beard made some waves on Twitter, at least.
Yeah. So what's going on? What's going on with that, man? You have a beard. I mean, this is huge news for the Pop Shop Podcast.
Yeah.
All of our listeners have been tweeting in questions. What's going on with Keith's beard? Come clean, man. Go on the record. What's
going
on with the beard?
It's a Hillary Duff reference. what's funny is I didn't realize it was going to cause such a stir within our office, but some of my coworkers tweeted about it, and they were like, come for Chrissy and Jussie, stay for Keith Caulfield's beard. I'm like, what? So
yeah.
What actually happened, and this is like the 22nd version, the week before the Grammy Awards, I fell on a sidewalk and sort of kind of busted open underneath my chin a little bit, and I couldn't shave and I couldn't shave all week long, and then suddenly it was the Grammy Awards and I still couldn't shave, and I'm like, oh crap, what do I do? Because I knew that I was going to be on camera with Jason for our live streaming podcast.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, you know, I don't actually kind of mind the way I look right now, let me just sort of clean it up and, you know, let's see how it looks. And then people said it looked good, and I didn't mind not having to shave every day. So yeah, I've got some facial hair going now.
Dude, have I ever showed you pictures? I think I did. I showed you pictures of me in college when I had a very terrible looking beard.
I saw you with all that extra hair on your head, where you looked like you were like one of the roadies for Fish or something.
That's because I was a roadie for Fish. I'm just kidding. But you know what? Beard, you can't go wrong with it. And great to hear, man. Apparently, there's a you wanted to mention that there's a really cool fan voted award with the BBMAs this year.
Yeah, I think we do a fan voted award almost every year. And this year's award, there are three artists that are in the running, and it's the only fan voted award of the entire evening. I believe the category is called the Billboard Chart Achievement Award. It might be also called something else, so don't quote me on that. I apologize, because I think the name of the category was a little bit in flux. But anyway, there are three artists in the running: Taylor Swift, Iggy Azalea, and Meghan Trainor. And each of those three have a particular chart achievement that is attached to them. So you're kind of voting for that achievement, but also I think you're also voting for whoever is your favorite artist. And you can vote at billboardmusicawards.com, I believe, and somewhere on billboard.com. And you can vote, I think, up until shortly before the show. And then they will present that award on the show itself. And yeah, it's the only fan-voted category of the night. But I do have to say, and then I'll shut up, because I'm fairly close to the Billboard Music Awards, because the Billboard Music Awards categories and all the finalists are derived from the Billboard charts. It's actually based on the chart performance each week on our weekly charts. So in effect, you, the listener, you, the consumer, have been voting, basically, for these artists and songs and albums over the past year. Because you listened to them, you bought them, you streamed them, you liked them on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter or whatever. And all that activity added up into the finalists that were announced this week. Ta-da.
Very cool, man. No, I can't. Billboard Music Awards time is always a fun time for us. We'll obviously be talking about it a ton leading up to the big event on May 17th. And happy to get those finalists out there now, man. And, you know, and dissect your beard as well.
Yeah.
So, Keith, Uptown Funk.
Hey.
It's a song by Mark Ronson and Bruno Mars. It's been number one now for 14 straight weeks. And last week, it set the record for the longest run at number one of the Hot 100 this decade of the 2010s. Now, by going up from 13 weeks to 14 weeks at number one, it is the longest running number one of the century of the 2000s. No other song has been at number one longer than Uptown Funk. It's crazy, man. And now it's only 2 weeks away from tying the all-time Hot 100 number one run of One Sweet Day by Mariah Carey, Boyz II Men. What do you think? I mean, looking at this week, looking at how the Hot 100 shakes out a little bit, I mean, I know we're just kind of digesting these numbers. What do you think, man? Is it still going strong?
Well, let me clarify just one thing. Uptown Funk is in its 14th week at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. That ties the Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feeling.
Oh, I thought it set the record. Oh,
no,
for the longest run
this century.
Okay,
and of course,
so it
the
ties
century
that.
The century would have started in 2000. And it's also, there's another song it's tied with, Mariah Carey's We Belong Together, with 14 weeks at number one. So it's in a three-way tie for the longest
run.
My bad. This
the chart master zaps me again. My B. Anyway.
That's okay. but it will probably, I'm thinking, probably be number one again next week, which would be a 15th week, which would make it, on its own, the second longest running number one ever behind Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men's One Sweet Day with 16 weeks at number one. So right now, this is the all-time ranking, okay? One Sweet Day with Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men, 16 weeks at number one. Then there are a boatload of songs with 14 weeks at number one. Uptown Funk, I Got a Feeling, We Belong Together by Mariah, Elton John's Candle in the Wind, The Macarena, Boyz II Men's I'll Make Love to You, and Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You, all have 14 weeks at number one. So it'll really be spectacular if he can get one more week at number one for a 15th week and then have the longest running number one this century and then have the second longest running number one ever. Again, anything can happen. You know, who knows? You know, there could be some Justin Timberlake song that, you know, materializes. There could be another Rihanna track that sets the world on fire. I mean, dunno.
So just to put it in perspective, right now it's like tied with a bunch of other songs for the silver medal of all time.
Yes.
If it's number one for one more week, it's alone with that silver medal.
Correct.
And then in 2 weeks, if it's still number one, it's tied for that gold with One Sweet Day.
And Boyz II Men, yeah.
3 weeks more at number one, that would be 17 weeks total. It's got that gold for all time.
And you know the great thing about this, and then I'll shut up. The great thing about this is that Uptown...
You don't have to shut yourself up, man. Go.
No.
Wax poetic.
I was about to call you girl. I don't know why. I was like, girl. I was about to like pull some like drag like talk on you. Girl, let me tell you something. It's all that drag race watching I do. You know, the great thing about Uptown Funk is that even though it's been number one for a million weeks, it's one of those songs that I feel doesn't get old. And it's a great song. It's not like kitschy. It's not like, you know, oh wow, it's a novelty track that spent a million weeks at number one. You know, it's like a legitimate hit, and it's so cool to see like awesomeness celebrated. And yeah, so I mean, I don't know. We will see what happens in the next few weeks.
It doesn't feel like one of the biggest songs of all time to me, and not in a bad way. I feel like maybe it's just my personal experience. I just remember like a year and a half ago, Blurred Lines. It obviously wasn't number one for as many weeks as Uptown Funk, but I just remember that song just being like, oh my gosh, it's everywhere. And I feel like I haven't hit that point yet with Uptown Funk. Maybe it's getting there, but I think that's sort of helped it, where people haven't gotten sick of it yet.
Yeah, well, so, and, you know, and Blurred Lines was number one for 12 weeks, so...
Yeah, it's been... yeah, obviously.
And I think the other difference is that Uptown Funk came out of the gate so strong. It debuted at, like, 65 and then was in the top 10 2 weeks later.
Yeah,
so it had a really, really fast rise. So most of its chart life has been at number one, really. Like,
that is true.
Like, two-thirds of its chart life have been at number one. So it's one of those weird songs where it came out of the gate and was like, I'm number one, and then that was it, kind of.
So, Keith, a little bit lower on the Hot 100 this week, Rihanna's new single, Bitch Better Have My Money. We talked about it last week. It debuted at number 23, moves up four spots this week to number 19. But I wanted to ask about its radio. Is it catching on yet? I know it's still early, but how is it? I mean, this doesn't really feel like a pop smash. We talked about that last week, like I said. But how is it performing at pop radio?
Well, it's at pop radio specifically, it's down actually 33% in spins at the format. It's not even on the mainstream top 40 chart, which is known as pop songs, if you're looking at Billboard.com. I think that's probably not that surprising, considering it's a fairly challenging record for top 40. It's probably something more for rhythmic-leaning radio stations or urban radio stations to play, because it's a little bit more harder-edged. And also just the fact that it's just a heavily edited song. I think the clean version is Better Have My Money or Bit Better Have My Money. Kind of takes away some of the sting. The original punch of the song is out the window now. So I don't know. And also this Rihanna rollout for her new album, it's difficult to sort of figure out what is the actual single. Like, what's the lead single? Is it 4 or 5 seconds? Is it that other track, the name of which just escaped me, that she premiered the video on Tidal? Is it this song? I don't know.
It's been interesting, and it's funny because it's kind of same goes a little bit with the Kanye West album, which
right.
We know the title of that is So Help Me God, but All Day kind of is the de facto single now, but there was also Only One with Paul McCartney. There's also Wolves. We never got that studio version of that song that he performed on the SNL 40th anniversary. So it's interesting to see these two superstars kind of roll out their new albums and their new projects in almost like a sideways format, where it's like, here's this, here's that. We're not really going to be explicitly pushing one song to radio. It's interesting to me. And you know, either of those artists could have their album fall out of the sky in the next, you know, day, week, month.
What if they both put out their albums on the same day? Actually, they probably wouldn't do that because they wouldn't want to compete against one another.
Yeah. Hey, you never know. Maybe they have like a friendly bet. Like, it's almost like trading places.
Ooh. What if they do something where it's like, you know, buy my album and get hers at the same time? Like, it's like a twofer. Like, it's a Roc Nation, like, combo platter.
You know how quickly I would buy those albums, man? I would buy them in like four or five seconds. Yeah.
4 or 5 seconds.
All right.
Wait, Kanye is managed by Roc Nation, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I believe so. Yes.
Yep.
Anyway, let's move on, man. Here are a couple songs, as we do every week on the Pop Shop Podcast, that are not on the Hot 100's top 20 yet, not in the top 40. Maybe they're not even the Hot 100 at all, but we have an eye on them. They could be moving up into hit status soon enough. That's why we call it Soon to Be Hits. All right, man, it is your time to shine. Yes. What is our first soon-to-be hit?
By the way, it's like, and it's Keith, your turn. Well, mine is actually a song that is something, it's a genre that we don't normally talk about on the Pop Shop Podcast because, well, it's called Pop Shop. It's actually a country song by a woman named Kelsey Ballerini. Forgive me if I am pronouncing her name incorrectly. But she has a song called Love Me Like You Mean It. It debuts on the Billboard Hot 100 this week. And it's a country song which has been endorsed by, you may have heard of her, Taylor Swift. Taylor tweeted about the song in March, saying that she just couldn't get the song out of her head. And if you listen to the track, you'll hear why. It's super catchy, and it's fun. And I think this week it goes top 20 on the country airplay chart. So it's actually, you know, a legitimate rising hit on the countryside. And it's actually kind of breaking through in terms of the overall picture. And that's why we see it debut on the Hot 100 this week. So there's my pick for the week, Kelsey Ballerini's Love Me Like You Mean It. Jason?
That's a good one, man. You mean that Taylor Swift cosign, all powerful these days.
If only I can get Taylor Swift to cosign me. Taylor?
Soon enough.
Anyway.
You got to keep rocking that beard.
Yeah.
Keith, I want to talk about Jess Glynn's new song, Hold My Hand. Now, this came out a couple months ago. Jess Glynn, of course, is the voice of the song Rather Be by Clean Bandit. It was a top 10 hit on the Hot 100. She's a UK pop artist who is now working on her next solo project, Hold My Hand. It does not debut on the Hot 100 this week. Keith, I believe you said it debuts on the Hot Dance Electronic Songs chart?
That is correct. I don't have the position yet because we were still finishing the chart as we went to the podcast, but it should debut this week.
That's okay. Yep. So the song's just getting started, but as Keith pointed out to me earlier today, it debuted at number one on the UK singles chart. I believe it's still there in its second week. And obviously just a really infectious pop song. It's in that rather be vain, and she's got a great voice.
Her voice. Lynn,
Yeah, I mean, she's already a Grammy winner for Rather Be with Clean Bandit, and now she is trying to forge a legitimate solo career. I think the song may be the one to help her do it. We will see in the coming weeks. But Hold My Hand by Jess Glynn, another soon-to-be hit. And yeah, man, so we only got two this week. That is soon-to-be hits. All right, Keith, we got to turn to the movie that dominated the box office this week. It looks like it's going to dominate the box office for the next couple weeks until at least the Avengers Age of Ultron comes out. Furious 7, the seventh installment of course, the much-beloved Fast and Furious franchise. I like how it was like Fast 5, then it was Fast 6, now it's Furious 7?
Yeah, it's every single time. Well, I mean, and you know, don't forget Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, which didn't even have a number in there.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of the Fast and the Furious movies?
I kind of am. Yeah, not like a huge... I mean, anyone who knows me knows how much I love the Step Up movies, and I'll like go to that on opening night because I just love the Step Up dance movies. But I haven't seen the new Fast and Furious movie yet, but I definitely enjoy them. I just think they're really, like, the cast is really good. The action's always really solid. It's fun. It's raking in a boatload of money.
I'm waiting for the crossover movie, you know, Step Up. Step Up to the Furious.
Where they're dancing on top of cars.
Like dancing
that
on top
like
of cars
speeding.
That are driving.
Oh, wow. And like Vin Diesel has to dance to save Tyrese
like,
or something.
Like Ludacris can like sing a song or like rap a song that like someone has to dance to. Like it's like, I mean, there's music, there's hip hop, there's cars and crashing and people dancing in dangerous situations.
That'd be so awesome.
I mean, if Jason versus Freddy, so cool. I mean, come on, if we can do that, why can't we take another?
I think that the Step Up franchise is not in the same stratosphere in terms of box office success.
Not quite, but they keep on cranking them out. So
I love them. Yeah. Anyway, so let's talk about Furious 7. It raced on to the silver screen this past week, and now its soundtrack is doing enormously well because of it. First of all, on the Hot 100, they have a new top 10 hit from the Furious 7 soundtrack, See You Again, by Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth? Who has worked with Meghan Trainor. He's a name that has popped up a little bit, but obviously now he has a top 10 hit with Wiz Khalifa. It's a tribute song to Paul Walker.
Yep.
And
I think we're like, Paul Walker? I'm like, yes, Paul Walker.
Yes. No, yeah.
The late Paul Walker, who passed away while filming The Fast and the Furious 7. Yes.
Yes. So... yeah, man. I mean, now it's a top 10 hit. It moves up 74 spots on the Hot 100. Is this all due to just, you know, the awareness of the movie, the awareness of the soundtrack?
Well, yes, in a way. I mean, the song has been out for a couple of weeks. I'm not sure when the video actually came out. I think the video might have come out this past week. But the video effectively is a tribute to Paul Walker. And it's just nothing but, you know, it's Wiz Khalifa and Charlie singing the song intercut with... images of Paul Walker from the entire Fast and the Furious series. And I think I haven't seen the film, so I apologize, but I want to say that this particular song, See You Again, closes out the film. And the film ends where the cast effectively says goodbye to Paul Walker.
Paul Walker, yeah.
And his character. So they change the ending of the film because the ending, the film was supposed to have a different ending. And then when he died, they regrouped and rewrote the ending. And actually, this is kind of like random aside, I didn't realize this, but they had to bring in Paul Walker's brothers to help film segments of the film. And then they superimposed Paul Walker's face onto his brother's body.
It's unreal.
Which is
unreal.
But I mean, you know, his brothers kind of look like him. But so it was one of those things where like the family was involved with the film and making sure that it was done in the right way, and the studio didn't want to screw anything up. And so you know, all of that sentiment and all of that emotion is playing into the top 10 rise of this particular song, and the soundtracks jump 17 to 2 on the Billboard 200 this week. So, you know, you have the BAFO box office, you have all the streams and the track sales, you have the album sales, you have the all of that stuff combining into a really big week for Furious 7. And it has a chance of perhaps hitting number one on the Billboard 200 next week if it continues to hold on the way it's doing.
Yeah, just you saw this a couple months ago with the 50 Shades of Grey soundtrack, just that pop culture domination. Everyone's interested in Furious 7 right now, including the soundtrack, which you said moves up 15 spots to number two. Wale debuted at number one on the Billboard 200 album chart this week. Got some Ludacris, who is co-starring, obviously, in Furious 7, at number three. A little lower, Death Cab for Cutie at number eight. Sufjan Stevens at number 10. But as Keith, as you mentioned, the real news seems to be this Furious 7 bump.
Yeah.
17 to 2, could be number one next week. It looks like as this movie continues to rake in the dollars, people are going to want to listen to See You Again, the Paul Walker tribute song, Wiz Khalifa. And there's a lot of big names on this soundtrack as well, a lot of big hip-hop stars. So it'll be interesting to see what this does in the coming weeks. All right, man. Let's get to Jessie Ware. Again, this was one of my favorite interviews we've done on the Pop Shop podcast. Her second album, Tough Love, was released last fall. She was in New York last week to perform at Terminal 5 in the city, and I hopped on her tour bus a couple hours before the show to discuss her process supporting the sophomore album, how the merging of indie pop and the mainstream pop world. She's worked with Benny Blanco on this new album, as well as Kashmir Cat, and a lot more. I also introduced her to the show Empire. She had not heard of the show Empire until I told her about it. So here is Jessie Ware on the Pop Shop Podcast. Cause I don't wanna fall in love. Jessie Ware, thank you so much for taking a couple minutes. How has this album cycle been for you? I mean, you're about 6 months into it right now since the album came out. What has been the most surprising part of album number two and its promotion?
You know what? I think everyone talked to me when it was like building up and people hadn't heard the record and being like, you know, that difficult second album, how are you finding it? Like, was it really hard? And I found the second album really easy to write and make. It's the promoting it that's the hard bit, I tell you. God, it's kind of, it definitely feels like a bit more of a slog in some respects, but then in other respects, it's like you've bedded in and you feel like this is your job now. Yeah. I think, you know, there's all these things that come with the first record and being a like new artist and being like starry-eyed and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and, oh, wow, you want me to do this? Yeah, and then this time around, it's like you're a bit more seasoned. And I think I understand this industry a bit better. Sometimes you don't want to understand it as much, yeah. But I feel like I'm definitely... this is my job now and I love it and I'm happy to have it. But I think what I found kind of a bit different is the aftermath of bringing it out, which it has its kind of ups and downs.
Yeah, I mean, you have obviously a huge tour planned, you're playing shows left and right. I mean, you have been playing these songs for a while. Is there a different level of confidence now that, I mean, obviously you were confident with Devotion and those songs, but just the reception that those songs got and now these new ones, what is that like?
It feels really good. It's like, okay, so I've done my UK and Europe tour, yeah. and then I'm doing this US. And just the reaction to the new songs, even though they are only 6 months old, they feel even stronger than some of the old songs on Devotion. And I don't think that takes away from Devotion. I just feel like it means that people have been really receptive to this album and these songs and kind of me growing and them accepting that, yeah, maybe I do want to make something that's like, you know, got some kind of more pop sensibilities and that's okay and my fans like that and they want to sing Champagne Kisses at the top of their voices and blow kisses at me and that's okay. And I think we're having fun with it, especially in this record. I really focused a lot about thinking about the performance aspect of it and it hasn't let me down yet, and my fans haven't let me down, and it's such a pleasure to be able to play these shows and to play with people smiling and enjoying these ideas that I had, you know.
What's been like the craziest fan interaction that you've had on this tour? Because minutes before this interview, two fans were like waiting for you to take a photo and sign an autograph. Like your profile's much larger now. What has been? Do you have like a fun anecdote of just total passion and devotion?
I think you know, definitely the profile thing is. I feel like it has got bigger, especially in the UK. You know, like you either feel completely like you're being the most egotistical person, or you're like, are they staring at me for a bit too long? Or you know what I mean? And you're like, oh, I'm on the tube, and like they're looking at, oh God, I haven't covered up my spots, and I didn't put that makeup on because I didn't think anyone was going to recognize me. So yeah, that's kind of weird. But no, the live, like any anecdotes, there was this, I mean, so I've got this song called Want Your Feeling, and like I've got quite a lot of gay fans, and there's always these fabulous gorgeous boys at the front, gorgeous girls, and there was this guy in Munich, I think, and he was dancing like to every song, and then on Want Your Feeling, I don't know, I was in a kind of, when you come to my shows, like who knows what I'm going to talk about. It could be a load of crap, or sometimes I'm on point and I'm like, whoa, I'm really on a roll here, and then sometimes I just go off piste. But there was this guy at the front and he was dancing, and I kind of gave him some attention, and I thought, Want Your Feeling, like it's got this kind of disco thing to it. I was listening to loads of Daft Punk when I wrote it with Dev Hynes, and I was like, look, you've been dancing, do you want to just come and dance, and like let's set up a routine for the fans to do. The worst idea ever, because the boy, once he got on stage, didn't dance. So then it was like this thing of like having this guy on stage, and you're like, okay, how am I? It was fine, bless him, it was fine. At the same show, there was this woman that I'd given a lot of time to who kept on going, feelings. And I was like, is that one you're feeling? Jesse, play feelings. And I was like, okay. So I played.
You have to try to decipher what that means.
And then I turned into kind of Ricky Lake, where I'm kind of like giving the fans the mic, because I quite like chatting to my fans. I like to understand why the bloody hell they bought a ticket for me, you know? And they're all jokers. So this one woman was like, play feelings, and it was Want Your Feeling, I thought. And then at the end of the show, I was just like, you know, doing my spiel of being like, thank you so much for being here, you know, I really appreciate it. And she went, Jesse, and I thought, she's quite a joker, yeah, go on then. I gave her the mic, she went, you're pregnant. And I said, sorry, what? I was like, mate, you don't say that to someone. And she went, no, you're glowing. And I was like, thank you so much, but get the fuck out of my show, man. Like, wow. You don't... She didn't leave. But I was like, you don't say to a girl, she looks pregnant.
especially after you played her song.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? I've just, like, fucking give it. You just absolutely sabotaged this relationship that we had going on. So that was kind of awkward and funny.
I want to ask, because you mentioned Cashmere Cat, and you've been working with so many interesting collaborators, like, you know, Benny obviously had a huge part in this last album, someone like Miguel, someone like Ed Sheeran, like, do you feel like, it just seems like there's less of a stigma between, like, the indie world and the pop world now more than ever. It seems like everybody's working with everybody. You've worked with one of my favorite artists, Rin Weaver. It just seems like people can be more free now. Do you get that sense as well?
I think, you know what? I think Benny really taught me that. I think, you know, I had this kind of indie snobbery before. And I'm not even that indie. Like, if I'm being honest, like, I'm a pop girl. Like, I'm a soul pop girl. But I think I'd be like, oh, no, I couldn't possibly, Benny. And Benny really opened my eyes and just was like, try everything, because you never know what's going to happen. Yeah. And I will carry that with me now. And I think you're right. I think that, look, I rely on working with, like, collaborating, because I don't play music. I know what I want. I know what kind of thing I want to do. I write. I sing. I do everything apart from play an instrument. So I rely on somebody else. And I think it's really exciting. I think the collaborations that are coming out are brilliant, and I think it's really positive, and I think it kind of makes it less separate, this stupid snobbery of what is cool, what is allowed, what isn't. It's music. If it's good, it's good.
Yeah,
I totally agree. Is there someone out there that you want to work with? I mean, you've already worked with so many people. Is there someone out there that you're like, I have to get him on or her on album number three?
My two current faves, and I don't know if they'll be on, but I just want to get in the room with them, are Leon Bridges.
Yes.
So good.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, and Natalie Prass.
Oh my goodness.
Have you heard about this girl?
Yes.
Like,
her album is one of my favorites of the year.
Oh my god, it's like kind of soul, it's like Feist, but with this like, there's that like Disney element to one of the songs where I was just like, shit, this is like fairy tale music. She has made me the most excited, and we've kind of, it's really, there's something, I haven't done this for a while because I've just been kind of not using Twitter and the internet that much, but I said, wow, I can't stop listening to this girl. And then she reached out to me, and now we're emailing, and now we're going to be friends.
Oh my goodness.
And that's like, that's the best thing, man. Like, it's a beautiful thing when that happens. It's the same with Leon, actually. So, like, I think I'm just going to, I want to work with both of them.
Are you the kind of person that can write on the road? I mean, you've been so busy.
I don't know. Like, I write words, and I'll have ideas, but I can't, like, it's such a weird time being on the road where I'm kind of not on it for big, long, long stints. So it's kind of like these funny old things where you do have promo and you do have to kind of, it interrupts too much of the day. And then sometimes you just want to switch off and watch like House of Cards instead. You know what I mean? I'm not up to date. I'm on a series one. Don't you say anything. You're about to say something.
No, I was going to ask if you finished it. I'm midway through season three.
Okay. It's just so annoying because I read something about fucking Kevin Spacey and it's just annoying. But like, it's just stupid. But anyway, I'm just going to persevere. My top absolute blunder was watching the first series of Scandal and starting with the last episode because my iTunes downloaded it wrong. So I started with the last episode and I was like, whoa, this is really like jam-packed. Whoa, 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 really fast-paced. I finished the series in one episode because I started with episode 13. It's so annoying.
Oh, no. And you knew everything that was going to happen.
Well, I bloody worked it out. So now I'm on series two very quickly. And
well, it's a little bit of a time saver, if anything.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. I know what's
going on. An inadvertent time saver.
Yeah.
Are you an Empire fan?
I don't know Empire.
Empire, the show with Terrence Howard, and it's a music mogul. And
what? Oh. I don't know. I like Nashville. Nashville's my fave.
Empire is like Nashville, but all hip-hop and R&B.
Shut up. Hold on. Was Rita on that?
Yeah, Rita. Rita, Jennifer Hudson.
All right.
It's all over.
Oh, dude.
You have to watch it.
Has Rita got a good song on it?
She does. Yeah, she's on the finale. Yeah.
I want to be on the finale. Do you think now that I sung with Nikki on stage, do you think like that can like mean that I can get on Empire now? Would they have a Jewish South Londoner? I don't know. Maybe it's a unique selling point.
Thanks again to Jessie Ware. After that chat, I actually made her watch the trailer to Empire. And she absolutely loved it. So maybe she's an Empire junkie as of right now. So Keith, we unfortunately got to wrap this up. Time for your chart stat of the week.
Okay, so this is a super short and sweet one. And it's one of those chart stats of the week where I fear that I've actually talked about this before. So if I have, let me know because I need to keep better records of this. But in 1988, on April 9th, Billy Ocean hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 with Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car. Now, that was his third number one single on the Billboard Hot 100, and all three of his singles have something in common. They each have eight words in their title, which I know sounds ridiculous. So he first topped the chart with Caribbean Queen, No More Love on the Run, and then he hit number one again with There'll Be Sad Songs to Make You Cry. So I actually learned this statistic from one of the books that Fred Bronson, our former Chartbeat editor, wrote a long time ago. I was so enamored with that chart stat, it's always hung in my head forever.
that's all I had to say about the Billy Ocean this week. I just thought it was a fun fact to bring up. So there's your chart stat of the week. Billy Ocean hit number one in 1988.
All right, that is going to do it for us at the Pop Shop Podcast. Keith, thank you as always. Thanks again to Jesse Ware for stopping by. We're going to do something really fun for Coachella. I wanted to talk about it now, but we're running out of time on this episode. But we're going to do something very fun for Coachella. Keep your eyes peeled on iTunes and on Billboard.com for that. Keith, do you have any parting words?
Just get out of my dreams and get into my car, Jason.
Get out of my dreams and get into my car. Thank you for listening, and take care.